Good evening. How y'all doing? Oh, that was bad. That was bad. That's right. I know it's Wednesday. Let's try it one more time. How y'all doing? All right, all right. We're almost to a Pentecostal church, but we'll get there. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be here. Always a pleasure to be anywhere where Brother Angel is, and I enjoy his friendship and over the years. And y'all are family, really. I've been here so many times, you know, I all through pilots and tournaments and. And, but there's a lot of new faces. The little kids that were little tiny, man, they're all grown up and big. So what's a benefit for me is you have not seen me on the basketball court, so you're not afraid of me. All right, and that's a blessing. Amen. And so, yeah, now look, where's that key at, preacher? You put that down here? Just a little trick. A lot of times people sell drugs and ship them through UPS and whatnot, and so we dress up in UPS uniforms and knock on doors and deliver their drugs to them, and then when they take them, that's when we arrest them. And so, I want to know whose key this is. I cannot leave Bourbonnais without making a good arrest, all right? So come see me afterwards. It may be costly, but hey, I might get a little credit for that. But tomorrow's training, we use this training all over the United States. I've been certified by Homeland Security before they got stupid crazy. And it's just increased violence in churches and schools. It's just been crazy what I've seen. And again, I was telling preacher today, I think maybe that little 20-year break in ministry I forgot what it was all about in 20 years, and now I'm back in law enforcement. We're seeing so much crime is happening from young people, and so they're going into schools and things are happening. And so tomorrow is just a training. It's not something to scare your kids, because I wouldn't do that. But what I want to give you is I want to give your kids an edge, just a piece of tool out of a toolbox that may save some lives. And we've seen the results of the training, and it does. And as a matter of fact, there are schools that utilize it, and in some of the rooms, the ones that didn't utilize the training, more people were injured. And so hopefully I can help your kids and the teachers and get a hold of that. And if something does happen, God forbid something happens here, you'll be somewhat prepared to be able to take care of the situation, and less people will get hurt. So that's what it's about. And my Signal 63 ministry, just to kind of catch you up, we've kind of been on a hold. I mean, I've been traveling doing church security every single month. So God's been good, and my support is increasing. You know, churches are picking me up when I go by and present the ministry. But, you know, the traveling overseas, obviously, you know, it's been difficult because they require so much. And, you know, just my personal opinion, I'm not going to take the shot and go somewhere. And so it's kind of hindered things, but things are opening up. I've got 900 bulletproof vests. Did I tell you about this, preacher? I sent Albuquerque, New Mexico Police Department called me, and they said, we have a few vests for you. So my brother-in-law lives there now, and he went over to pick, he brought his Toyota Corolla over there to pick up the vests. And the guy's like, okay, where's your truck? He goes, well, I'll put them in the trunk. He said, come here. And there were 900 bulletproof vests. So he said, well, I'll be back. So they scheduled and picked those up. And they're all palletized, special pallets you have to have to ship overseas. They're wrapped in plastic, cardboard. They're ready to go. But every single country that we've tried to get them to, Philippines, they wouldn't get me the paperwork I needed. Africa, I got the paperwork I needed. Mark Holmes, I got all the paperwork I needed. And then the shipper said, oh, no way, we're not taking bulletproof vests. Everything's getting stolen as it is. So we can't take responsibility of the vests being shipped. And so Ukraine, we're working on Ukraine and possibly have that. And then I'll go over to Ukraine. The missionary said to me, you don't mind going where there's war? I said, I live in Baton Rouge. Give me a break. You know, so it's not a problem. You know, we're used to that. And so you know, pray that the Lord's will be done, and wherever he wants those vests to go, we'll go. And here's the key. It's not just giving vests to policemen so they can, you know, it saved their lives, which it does. But it is 900 people will hear the gospel when they get those vests. And we've had 636 policemen saved so far in Signal 63 since the day I sat in your office and talked to you about it. And I should have listened to you long ago. He said, we should do something and maybe you pick up the part. I said, no, I got it. You know, it's no problem. I should have listened to you, you know, and got more support from you now. You'd have been more money from you. Amen. So no, I'm just kidding. But it's good to be here. It's good to be here because my grandson is here and he's the best looking kid in the world. Man, the only problem is he's got my nose, man. I feel sorry for the guy, you know, knock him out. But praise the Lord. But anyway, I think I've covered enough goofiness now for a while. Let me get to the Word of God. Amen. Turn anywhere. It's all good. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And we'll get into the message. Look at verse number 1. Do you stand here, preacher, or no? No. All right, let's just stay seated then. And I'll read this out loud and get through. We're going to read just about 10 verses for you, okay? It's Exodus 14, look at verse number 1. It says this, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, I think that's how you say it, between Migdal and the sea, over against Beth-Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea, beside Pi-hahiroth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless the reading of your word, Lord. I pray you would give me what you want your folks to hear, Lord. I ask you to hide me behind the cross. We plead the blood of Jesus on this message. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Obviously, we've all heard the story. We know what's going on. Israel were in Egypt when Joseph was there, and then the new king came in and forgot who he was, and they started treating the Israelis badly. The Bible says rigor, violent, you know, hard struggle, and that's how they're being treated. And then they called out to God to help them, and so now they're being taken out. Finally, after this, the long back and forth with Pharaoh and all the things that took place that they saw. And now they're leaving. They're heading out. And if you read the story, the Bible tells us that God directed them exactly where they're supposed to go. I mean, directed them to the place where, you know, now they're sitting there with the Egyptian army coming at them full bore. They got the ocean behind them, the sea behind them, and they thought, man, what'd you do? Bring us out here to die? Were there not enough graves in Egypt for us? They're complaining and griping just like any good Baptist would do, right? And then Moses, he stands up and says, look at verse 13 and 14. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now we read those stories, and I read them, and really, they are no different than you and I today. They're no different than the average people in churches just like this across America. We know God's blessed. We've seen miracle upon miracle in the lives of people. We've seen God touch and heal people. We've seen God touch and heal families. And then we get a little hiccup and it's, oh no. Oh no, what are we going to do? You know, we're no different than them. And, you know, at times we all felt like, man, you ever felt like you're between a rock and a hard place before? Of course you have. Everyone has before. And it doesn't matter how old you are, you're going to eventually go through it. Now, I know teenage problems to us as adults doesn't seem like they're big problems. But let me tell you something. You just forgot what it is like to be a teenager. You have, because their problems may be small in our mind, but they're huge in the minds of young people. So you need to remember that when you're dealing with your young people. Oh, it's no big deal. Yes, it is. Just look at the teen suicide taking place across America, and I'm telling you, it's because I think, oh, it's no big deal. It's no big problem. And we just brush it off. And so we need to remember to take that seriously. And, you know, and difficulties take many shapes and sizes. Your problem is not my problem. You know, the same thing that may give you a difficulty, preacher, may not give me a difficulty. And the same with everybody in this room. And so you need to understand that it could be a financial setback. It could be a wayward child. It could be the loss of a good paying job, or maybe a career change in midlife where things change. Look, people out there, the business world, they don't care about you at all. You know, the average job doesn't care about you. And so when things happen, those are difficult. You know, maybe a marriage going through a rough spot. And it seems like, man, there's no end, no light at the end of the tunnel in my marriage or my finances or my children or whatever it is. It could be some sort of addiction. You know, people are addicted to many, many things. And, you know, drugs, alcohol, and that's pretty easy to notice. But some people are addicted to things that they could be sitting right in church or singing right in the choir or even teaching a Sunday school class, and they've got an addiction to pornography, and that junk is running through their mind all the time. They look good, but they're struggling. They're struggling. And so we go through these difficult times. You know, what about a family member going through a difficult time? I was listening to Brother Bragg reading those cancer, that cancer list, and man, it breaks my heart, but it's everywhere. I was just in my Blessed Hope in Indiana, and Brother Castle's like best friends with Brother Ross, and to hear him going through that. And here's what we think, you know, why him? Why has it got to be him? Man, he's a great man of God, and he is. And I can't answer that question for you today. But God knows what's going on in this world, and he's in control of everything that's going on, and so we need to understand that. You know, someone in this room may be going through their own personal Red Sea experience right now. You don't know. I mean, I'm not around here enough to know anything that's going on. And you're going through those difficult times. But let me encourage you, no matter what your problem is, the Bible tells us the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so you have to understand that. Now, and we analyze the great miracle God performed crossing the Red Sea, and we have to see it as a testimony for us as the good greatness of an all-powerful God in our lives. We look at those things and say, you know, they're no different than us, and why can't we have that? We do have that. I do believe, and if I'm wrong and your preacher doesn't agree with me, then he's right and I'm wrong. But I do believe that when we pray and we ask God for things, we have to believe that he's going to fix those things. If you just pray amiss, oh, Lord, give me $1 million. See, he didn't answer me today. I believe you have to believe God will answer those prayers one way or another. It may not be exactly how we want, but he will answer our prayers. You ask your question when we're going through this. Why would God instruct these people to stand still at a time like this? You know, this story, we see the Israeli people standing on the brink of disaster. They are. They're standing on the brink of disaster at the Red Sea with the Egyptian army running full bore at them. And yet at the same time, they are standing on the shores of a great deliverance. So while you're going through a difficult time, while you may feel you're up against the Red Sea, remember that Red Sea just may be that brink of deliverance for you and your family. They had been led there to this place. They stand there. They were led there, not by Moses, by the way, not by accidental wandering, but they were placed there by God Himself. And sometimes we don't understand that in our own lives. Why are we? Why me? You know, I went through a little cancer scare just a couple months ago. They were, you know, I've always had that little cough I have. And remember last time I was here, I said, it's not COVID, guys. And I was coughing. And so, you know, they were checking it out, trying to see what it was. And when I got done, they said, yeah, we got a little problem. You looks like you have cancer in your thyroid. You know, and I didn't know nothing about cancer. But I'd learned that if something that's not supposed to have blood and blood vessels in, that's a bad thing. That's what I learned. They said, you got blood and blood vessels in one of your thyroid. You got a little nodule, and it looks like cancer. And, you know, and praise the Lord, it came back negative, not cancer. And I thank God for it. But, you know, people were calling me, you okay, you okay? I said, listen to me. You know, I'm not, and you can ask my wife. I wasn't saying, why me? I was saying, why not me? You know, why not me? What makes me special? I just trust God. He's going to do whatever He wants to do. And I'm just going to have the faith that God's got my best interest at mind. And He does. And so I don't know what you're going through in this church. You may have difficulties. But let me tell you, we serve a God who is in control of all these circumstances. You may think it's bad, but it may be the brink of great deliverance in your life. If you read the last six verses of chapter 13 and the first two of chapter 14, you'll see that God was very specific in His directions when He led them precisely to that spot and that exact time. He even tells them, for sake of time, I won't read a bunch, but He even says, I could have sent them here and they would have arrived earlier, but I am going to do something different so I get the glory. That's what He said. So what are you going through? Look, God will get the glory if you just trust Him in your difficult time. That is what is so awesome about the God we serve. I'm sitting up here right now. If you could see, I got goosebumps on my arm just because I understand that my God will take care of me. And if it's the end of my life, it's the beginning of my life in heaven. And I praise the Lord for that because I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I know that I know that I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Bible says He could have safely sent them across. He could have destroyed Pharaoh long before he mounted his horse and his chariot. He could have taken the wheels off of those chariots long, long before they got close. God could have done anything that He wanted to stop that before it got to that difficult time. But God said this, I'm going to get the glory. Tell your people to stand fast. Stand still. And watch me go to work. And He let them get close. I mean close. Just between, you know, the fire and the cloud. That's it. I think you could probably look through there once in a while. Oh, there they are. And I get they were probably looking saying, oh, there they are. That's what God does though. Sometimes He brings us to the brink. And we just have to trust Him. But there they are. They're standing at the mountains to the north, the desert and fortified Egyptian cities to the south, an irate Pharaoh rumbling up behind them, and the impassable sea in front of them. Standing at the Red Sea at a time like this. Maybe God's got you going through a difficult time for such a time as today. Right now. So what are you going through? When righteousness seems to be fighting a losing battle. And it does. It seems like that. But I've read the end of the book, folks. I know who wins this thing. And I am on the winning side tonight. At a time when evil men are rising up in every aspect of our life. I mean, you could listen to the talk radios, and I love the talk radios, but you could just destroy your whole day by listening to that junk. You can. I travel and I listen to it. Before I know it, I'm almost cussing. What is going on here? I said almost. All right, I did say almost. But remember, God led them there. Divine direction. Divine direction. You know, I could just go through, and I'm not going to give any personal illustration, but I could go through many years of my own life as things, you know, filtered out with my life. And there are many times that I just sat there wondering, why? I mean, that's normal. That's human. But you got to, at some point in time, shake it off and realize that there is a God in heaven. Now, you're saying, you say that a lot. Yeah, well, when you catch on, I will stop. Look, I travel a lot. I'm not some fantastic, great preacher like your pastor is. No, but I tell you this, I see people. And I watch people, and I preach to folks. I preached to a church just a couple of days ago, and I travel at least once a month and preach out. And I'm telling you, people are defeated everywhere. They don't walk in the church anymore with a smile on your face, you know. They walk in like Robert Conrad used to do. Go ahead and knock my attitude off my shoulder right now. Remember the little battery? Some of the younger kids, huh? The other ones are going, I know that guy. That's how some of you look. I mean, sometimes you can be a discouraging crowd of people, man. You're doing your best, and people are just... But people are hurting all over this nation. People, an independent, fundamental Baptist with good preachers, good pastors, good people, and they're hurting. And when they go... Now, when other people go through it, we... Oh, we'll be praying for you. But when you go through it, it's a whole different world now. Well, hey, I'm going through this now. God led you where you're at today. Hello? God led you where you're at. God has a divine direction. When the Israelis arrived to the spot God sent them, it seemed like a dead end. But if you read your Bible long enough, you'll see the Bible is a book about lives that are on dead-end roads without God, all through Scripture. But if you keep on reading, you're going to see some glorious things happen in the lives of all these people who had dead ends. Noah's Ark testified to the dead-end road, huh, of humanity without God. He preached to them. Abraham's descendants were as good as dead until God raised up Isaac from Sarah's dead womb. Joseph was on a dead-end road until God used his life to pave the road to Egypt to save a great godly nation. Now that nation has become a dead-end road into the Red Sea because God took care of them. And the same God that took care of those Israelis, that nation, is the same God that will take care of you with your child issue, your financial issue. Well, you don't understand. Look, I think people think I make a lot of money doing law enforcement. I mean, they do. They think I do. Trust me, I do not. All right? Trust me. I got a whole lot more month left before, you know, when the money's out gone. You know, I may fall flat on my face in life, and I may. But I know God will hold me in his hand. He will hold me in man. You know, Satan, with all his ways that he can attack all of us, and he does, and he is on the rampage. Trust me, he is. The junk that I see nowadays is all because of sin. All that junk that takes place, and I could sit here And I won't, but I could tell you of case after case after case of things that happen. And when you finally trace it down, it's usually because a mom and dad never taught their kid about the Lord. We're a mission field. We go places now where people don't even know who God is, and they don't know who Jesus Christ is in America. I'd love for you to come ride with me just one Friday night. I'm not going to pull, I'm not going to read anything, so don't worry about it, y'all. I won't do it. But my phone, I'm a part of a violent crime unit. And because of that, every crime that takes place in the whole parish, you call them counties, we call them parishes. We're the only stupid state that calls them parishes still because of the French. I don't even like French fries because of the name. But, so every crime that takes place, I get an email with the whole report on it. I've been gone, I think, when did we leave? Man, my days are blooming up. I think we left Wednesday. I think so. I'm getting old, you know. I can't remember everything. You see how I can scroll? Look, you see that? This is all work emails. Can you see that? Look, all that. That's just from Wednesday. You say, oh, what is that? Murder, robbery. It goes on and goes on and goes on. And it all boils down to sin and someone not teaching their kids right. Hey, when the pastor stands up in the pulpit and tells you to discipline your kids, you ought to thank God someone cares enough about them. Because I'm telling you, the kids that I'm dealing with, and preacher, they're 14, 15, 16 years old, jacking cars and shooting people all the time. I don't understand how that happens. You know what happens? Because moms and dads are not raising their kids right. And that's just, they don't bring them to church. They just don't bring them to church. I don't have time, but I'd tell you a little bit more. But, you know, Satan has his way. You know, nothing can separate me from God's measureless love. Nothing. No pain, disappointment, anguish, tomorrow, today. Nothing could take me away from that. And that's how you got to live. When you go through difficult times, the loss of a dear loved one, as devastating as that is, that can't take you away from the love of God. Death can't, life can't, war can't, nothing. Do you get that, folks, tonight? You got that? That's a simple thing. Nothing you are going through is greater than the God that we serve tonight. He loves you. He sent his son for you to die so you don't have to deal with this mess alone. Nobody has been through what our Savior has been through. Nobody. Absolutely nobody. And he did it for you. So why don't we trust him more? Why don't we trust his truth? Now, those people that were up against the Red Sea, they were hopeless. No weapons could fight their battle. No captain of their army was going to help them. Nobody to watch their back. They had no escape route. They had nowhere to go. And Moses said, stand fast and watch. Watch. So I'm telling you tonight, what are you going through? Health issues? I mean, look, my friends, most of them are a little bit older than me. Brother Angel definitely is older than me. Not by much, but honestly, my friends, they're all now having physical ailments. Do you remember Barry Durbin? You remember him from college? He went to the mission field. I forgot where it was. Canada, Alaska, Canada, wherever, somewhere up there where it was too cold. He just had massive, a big time heart, open heart surgery just a couple of days ago. You know what? When he was going in He said, I got peace that passes all understanding. I got the peace. I mean, they had to take him and open him completely. No matter what. Hey, do not fear. All through scriptures, do not fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Egyptians who have seen your problems that you have, God's going to deal with them. He's going to help you with them. And in order to set their eyes on the salvation he was about to accomplish, they needed to take their eyes off of the problem. Well, you know, they didn't. They had to take their eyes off of the sea and put their eyes upward. Now listen, you read those stories and you're like, yeah, they should do that. You know, look at those people. Man, they're ridiculous. How many of you have ever read stories in the Bible and see where they do wrong, do right, do wrong, do right, judgment, judgment, 7 years, do right, do right. And you sit and you tell yourself, man, those people are, they're hard-headed. Come on, you know you've said that before when you read the scriptures. Let me give you a little trick to help you out. Next time you go through a difficult time and you got a sorry attitude about it, go look into the mirror and say, what's wrong with you? You're hard-headed. You need to trust God like, hello. When they were surrounded, they looked up. God did not deliver them from their predicament. He didn't. He delivered them through their predicament. So you may have to go through whatever it is you're going through tonight. You may have to. But he takes us through them. I don't care how many Red Seas are in your way, or how many Pharaohs, or how many mountains, or how many obstacles are in your way tonight. God will carry you through. Let me read one more, two verses, and I'll close, preacher. It says this. Be still and know that I am God. I can't help but get a little emotional when I read this stuff because God's so good to me. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. He'll carry you through your problems tonight. Maybe you are up against a Red Sea experience, but you also are on the brink of a great deliverance if you trust the Lord. Amen. With every head bowed and eyes closed, I just say a word, then, Pastor, I'll turn this over to you. These are your folks. Let me just ask you a question. If you're here tonight and you've been through a difficult time in your life, just raise your hand. You don't have to look around. Just raise your hand. Hands are going up all over. Okay, you can put your hand down. So let me ask this to you. If you've been through a difficult time, and obviously you've made it to the other side, you're here sitting in church, what makes you think that you're not going to have another difficult time? It's around the corner. We're living in those days. So my question to you is, do you trust the Lord with your whole life? Through the good times and the difficult times, if you trust Him, He will show up for you just the way you need it. So today is the day for you to settle. Number one, your salvation with the Lord. I know it's Wednesday night, but I'm not foolish. I've been in the ministry long enough that there's folks probably in this room right now that do not have it settled in their heart. They may have settled in your mind, but that's not where it counts. Teenagers, I've dealt with teenagers for 20 years, and my pastor had me teach teenagers in high school where I'm at now. And young people, you can play the game real well. but then so can the adults. Today would be that day to get it settled so you can have the Lord through that Red Sea experience. Preacher.
Invitation as only you can. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the altar is open. Do you need to ask the Lord for that kind of trust tonight? Do you need to tell Him that you trust Him? Do you need to tell Him that you realize He has brought you to the brink of the Red Sea for a purpose, a reason? Excellent challenge. Very simple. Very, very good. Very helpful. At the brink of the Red Sea, at the brink of a great deliverance. And you can trust Him. Good help tonight. Good help tonight. What an encouraging thought.